mentioned, and you've mentioned the last few weeks that it's not just the running backs, but the failures in the ground game, and that the offensive line has lost a point of attack. Is that mechanics? Is that a combination of maybe the different blocking schemes they're doing this year? For what reasons that's happening?
I think there's a lot of things that go into a successful running game, and there's a lot of things that could hinder you from having success too. So there's a lot of little things that have to take place on a run play. Some of them are technical. Some of them are fundamental. Some of them are physical. Some guys end up getting one-on-one. Some guys are doubling with others, working together. And there's a lot of little things that have to take place. And like I said, we've done some really good things in the running game, had some really great days this year, and it's kind of been an inconsistency. And there's no real one thing, you know what I mean? It's not like, well, it's our double teams aren't very good or our polar. It's not about that. It's just we've got to be more consistent with everything we're doing. And, we're running a lot of the same scheme that we've run here for a long time. And I know I wasn't here, but, we've been running a lot of the zone scheme. So it's not like it's unfamiliar. We got to do it better. We've certainly shown the ability to do that well. At times, we just haven't done it necessarily as consistently as we'd like.
Do you see it as a learning curve, that it's something that just comes along slowly because you've had some different parts in there?
Like last year, was a unusual set of circumstances where nobody missed the game up front, and continuity is very important, to the offensive line. And, we ended up playing Russ a lot this year, and Tyler had to go in and fill in for Ryan Harris. And so there's moving parts there. Anytime you're working that closely together and you count on one another, it does affect things. That's not an excuse for us. I don't think anybody would use it as an excuse. We still have to do well. I don't know. We'll see. He will not practice today.
Graham or Eddie Royal would be two other injury-related questions.
You just love the injury-related questions, don't you? I can't say for sure. We're hopeful that both of them will be out there doing some things today.
You hopeful that Brandon can come back by Friday's
practice? I don't know. We're gonna go out there and practice with the guys who can practice today.
Does it make it with given McKinley just been put on IR and you have Eddie? You're kind of patching things together at that particular position, and it's week 17. It's not like you can go out. How difficult is it to get a game plan together that you want with all these injuries at one particular position at this juncture?
With great confidence in the guys that'll play, and I have great faith that we'll play well at that spot. And we had a good day of practice yesterday. I'm sure we'll have another one today. And we're going to play with who's healthy.
You're an emotional guy during games. But it doesn't seem like I'm just kind of curious as to what happens after a game. It doesn't seem like you necessarily call out individuals for things you may be going after them for during games. Is there something that occurs like in the aftermath of the game?
I think during the game, there's a lot of emotional things that take place. And the only reason that happens is because everybody's trying to do the same thing, which is win. So, and once the game is over, we win as a team and we lose as a team. So we have success offensively or defensively together, same thing in the kicking game. And when we don't do well, it's usually the product of a lot of things. So, my emotions on the sideline or anybody else's emotions on the sideline, I think, are just a product of the game and the environment of the game. And then once the game is over, we understand that we either succeeded together or we didn't, And I don't think it's about singling out people after the game and trying to say there's not one of us that have had a perfect game. Not one of us, has been the reason for a single loss or multiple losses. I think that there's, when you're a team, you share in all those things. And so after the game is over, you certainly are going to share in accepting, critique or responsibility for things that didn't go well. And you accept, the good things too, together as a group. So that's just, a game day is a different day for sure.
When you look at, or I don't know if you have, but stuff like far as the Childress and what's going on with the Vikings?
I'm not real aware of that. I mean, I've seen very bits and pieces. I'm not real aware of that, but...
But the idea of it having a lingering effect or being detrimental to a team, do you ascribe to that?
I don't think... I mean, I think the biggest thing is it's never personal. And if you think it is, then you may have an issue, but it's never personal. I mean, if it's personal, you got other problems, you know. So I think that emotion and shouting and all the rest of it during the course of the game is just natural. I don't think it's has anything to do with a negative reflection on some person or persons. It certainly doesn't in our case. We've had a lot of examples of emotion this year, and I don't think those are reflections of a negative response from our team about somebody else, myself included. So I just think it's some part of the game, and as long as you understand it for what it is, then you can get some positive out of it.
Josh, a bit of a big picture question, but Kyle was asked yesterday about free agency and kind of the uncertainty of labor, and you know, he said that's your one big shot, and you know, obviously a lot of guys may not get their shot because of the rules changing. How complicated is it as a team to prepare when you've got as many key guys coming up with this kind of uncertain situation?
Yeah, it's just we're all going to, you know, kind of go through it together. It's not easy necessarily to say what the landscape's going to be, you know. So there's really not a lot to comment about because it's you know, like he said, it's a little bit of an uncertain thing, and we'll see how it goes. You know, we're all in the same boat. We're going to find out together and you know, make decisions based on what happens, you know. So we'll leave that up to the people that are working on that.
But usually you're going months and months really formulating a plan. Okay, mm-hmm. Here's this person we need to do. Can you even do that now? I mean, with the landscape, not knowing what's going on?
You can still do your job and run your team and plan. I think you have to – there's allowances for what may or may not happen or occur. But, again, those things are all uncertainties right now. I don't know the answers to those.
Two more, please.
What do you think Elvis can improve? He talked about being 80% as far as grasping his new very role. And he talked about some pre-snap stuff that he could do better. Where do you see as a coach – where year two would kind of coalesce?
I think that anytime you go from being a player who has his hand on the ground most of the time to, I would say, half the time being a stand-up linebacker, there's always a period where you're going to have to adapt and learn. And I think that just the whole – when you play standing up, it's different than when you play with your hand on the ground in terms of your leverage, how high you're playing, what you need to do to try to beat a block or defeat a blocker. Your pass rush moves may change slightly, you know, based on your stance and what you have to do and who you're pass rushing against, because sometimes – when he's standing, he's rushing against a tight end who's wider from the quarterback. When his hand's on the ground, he's rushing against a tackle who's closer to the quarterback. So there's a lot of little things, I think, that go into that. I think he's done a really good job of adapting to that already. I think that it will only be a process. I don't think I could sit here and list two or three things that I say, well, boy, Elvis needs to really work on that. I think he's just working as a player to improve himself at that position because it's a new spot. And I think the longer you play that, the better you're going to be. And I think he's really found that fits him. You know, people I know talked about how, well, you got to have taller guys and all that, but he's got long arms, he can rush the passer, and he's physical. So, you know, those are the things that really have stood out and have made him a really effective player this year.
Kamba Ali hit quite a game against you guys.
3 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, 10 tackles.
Exactly. Why do you think he was able to have so much sacks and maybe what?
He's a really good player. I mean, very deserving of any recognition he gets in terms of his ability to play an outside linebacker spot, also rush the quarterback in sub very similar to different body type, but very similar role to Elvis. and he's got good quickness and speed. He can get to the edge. He can come inside where he created a lot of problems for us. I think it's just about, you know, you've got to work to keep him out of the middle of the pocket. You can help on him sometimes. That helps. I think a couple of those plays where he made really big plays that changed the game, we held the ball a little long. You know, we didn't necessarily have what we wanted open down the field right away, and we were forced to hold the ball a little bit. They did a good job in coverage. So if we can get, you know, some things open quicker and get the ball out sometimes, and then when we are going to hold it and try to move the ball down the field more, we've got to make sure we take care of him, because he really caused a lot of problems in the first game.